pas une boîte qu'il ne fréquentait.
Welcome to Madison Labor Radio. Labor Radio is dedicated to bringing news, information, and cultural events focused on working people and the labor movement to the Madison area and surrounding communities. I'm Rebecca Meyer Rao of Worker Justice Wisconsin. Your support is necessary to make Labor Radio and all the great programming on WORT possible.
Hi, I'm David Delia. Today, we hear a report on May Day activities in Wisconsin, learn about UW labor union support for pro-Palestine protest on campus, catch up on organizing issues at Meritor, celebrate National Nurses Week, and much more.
But who defend the workers who cannot organize when the bosses send their lackeys out to cheat us? Money speaks for money.
May Day was this week, and there were two marches in Wisconsin. Labor Radio reports.
Wednesday was International Workers' Day, or May Day, a day to celebrate organized labor and socialism through much of the world, although not officially in the United States and Canada. In the U.S., May Day has become a day to demand the rights of immigrant workers. This year, over eight states, plus Washington, D.C., including Wisconsin, all affiliated with the Fair Immigration Reform Movement, or FIRM, organized actions. In fact, Wisconsin organized two actions, a statewide May 1st march in Milwaukee and a student-led action in Madison on Thursday, May 2nd. On Wednesday in Milwaukee, the annual May Day March and Rally organized by the immigrants' rights organization Voces de la Frontera included as a speaker Sonia Torres, an immigrant worker from Green Bay, who was able to use the new federal program Deferred Action for Labor Enforcement, or DALE, to enforce her rights in the workplace despite her documentation status.
Tengo 19 años en Estados Unidos, en el cual 18 los pasé en las sombras por ser inmigrante. Y gracias a un nuevo...
I've been in the United States for 19 years, 18 of which I was in the shadows as an immigrant. But thanks to the new program DALE, the Deferred Action for Labor Enforcement, I have a license, I have a social security, and I came out of the shadows. DALE is a deferred action for workers that unjustly face situations where their bosses violate employees' rights.
Although the DALE program can help some immigrant workers, Wisconsin was expecting more from a White House that won in 2020 as Wisconsin's Latinx voters helped flip the state and secure a victory for Joe Biden. Christina Newman-Ortiz, the executive director of Voces de la Frontera Action, described what her organization sees as the most pressing legislative need.
The main immigration demand on President Biden is to use his executive authority to grant work permits for long-term undocumented immigrants and mixed immigration status families that have been here for decades.
Then yesterday, May 2nd, in Madison, hundreds of marchers, mostly high school students, but also college students, teachers, and community supporters, headed out on a wet day from both East and West high schools to converge on the state capitol.
What do we want?
Justice!
Jardiani Rodriguez, a senior at Monona Grove High, was one of the many student organizers of the march.
I am helping Voces de la Frontera with this march that is very meaningful for the students, for the high school students here in Dane County, and we're here to support.
Sylvia Gomez de Soriano is a bilingual resource specialist in the Madison Public Schools and a member of Madison Teachers Incorporated, or MTI, who attended the march. She described what she saw from the students.
It's very empowering, you know, to see that the students here have organized a lot of the march, you know, going to different schools, talking to different students and to different organizations.
I think this is a great opportunity for students to bring out their power, their leadership skills, and everything. So, yeah, they did a great job.
Yesterday's marchers had similar demands to those of May 1st, including expansion of work permits, state driver's licenses for all, and the end of the federal 287G program that turns local cops into immigration enforcers. There were also education-based demands, including accessible education, free school lunch for all, and the continuation and support of ethnic studies and ESL programs in the high schools. One demand, mentioned by speaker after speaker and featured in many chants and banners, was especially prominent.
Viva, viva Palestina!
Andy Orellana, a UW-Madison sophomore and a member of the Chicano student organization MECHA, links the cause of the liberation of Palestine to other student demands.
Not only are we here to fight for free school lunches, education for all, along with ending 287Gs and driver's license for all, but we are here today for a full liberation of Palestine from the river to the sea!
Some marchers later headed to the UW-Madison campus to join an encampment there at Library Mall in solidarity with Palestine. The rally went well into the afternoon, and a May 2nd student march and rally is becoming an established event in Madison. For Labor Radio, I'm Greg Jaboski.
UW campus labor stands firm with pro-Palestinian encampment.
UW unions stand in solidarity with the Students for Justice in Palestine as police under orders from the UW raid the encampment. After the Wednesday morning raid and arrest, students and supporters have rebuilt the encampment and support is growing. Labor Radio spoke with Nita Dean, co-president of the Teaching Assistants Association. She outlined the TAA's position regarding support.
TAA is committed to protecting and supporting all graduate students who face retaliation for attending the encampment and is happy to provide union representation in any investigatory or disciplinary meeting.
Dean also pointed out that UW is employing two standards regarding the enforcement of their rules against picnicking and camping.
And it was unfortunate to see that the chancellor's response in general, citing this archaic policy that students are not allowed to pitch tents. And another portion of that policy is actually that students are not allowed to picnic, which students are picnicking on campus constantly, all the time. Students also camp out for things like football tickets and even student housing. So to enforce this regulation is clearly targeted against these protesters and is completely unnecessary.
In November, the teaching assistants passed a motion of support for the Palestinians entitled A Call for the Liberation of Palestine, calling for immediate ceasefire and end of arms aid to Israel. TAA also resolved that, quote, the TAA considers Israeli and Western imperialism responsible for the recent violence. The TAA is at the encampment to make good on their resolution.
Yeah, I think it's really important that the union stands in solidarity with the Palestinian people and that we stand in solidarity together at the encampment. I think we have strength in numbers. Many of our members have been out there protesting for several days now. And so we are all coming together to support the demands that Students for Justice in Palestine have listed.
Students for Justice in Palestine have demanded that the UW divest from those firms making war materials for Israel and the occupation and call for an immediate ceasefire. Dean noted that some progress might be made as UW chancellors agreed to meet with the students today, Friday. As of broadcast, Labor Radio understands that the meeting has produced no progress. AFSCME Local 171, representing blue-collar and technical workers, also issued a statement calling for an immediate ceasefire and acceleration of humanitarian aid. In response, the UW did not address any of the demands and gave no credence to ongoing concerns of the students or the workers. Meanwhile, in related news, in response to the police attack at Columbia University in New York, their Graduate Assistant Union Local UAW 2710 has made a solidarity ask directed to the labor community and signed so far by several hundred union locals and labor support groups, along with several thousand individuals as of broadcast. All this in the context that not one university president has spoken out against the destruction of schools and universities by university troops in Gaza, according to reporter Chris Hedges. Thanks to Nina Dean for her comments. I am Frank Emsbach from Madison Labor Radio.
Just prior to broadcast, Labor Radio received this update of discussions between the UW administration and Students for Justice. The UW has agreed to continue meeting. UW has not changed their position regarding investments. It is not clear which actions the UW will take regarding the encampment.
Michael Elvord works at Meridol Hospital, and he serves on the executive board of a union. He talked to Labor Radio Carol Weidel about the contract issues they face.
And tell me about the work you do.
So the work that we do in our department is basically we take care of all of the housekeeping duties in the hospital. I primarily am in the C-section. I take care of the operating rooms. Pre and post surgery. I have worked also in all of the other operating rooms.
Matthew Elvord, you work at Meridol Hospital. There will be an informational picket next Thursday, May 9th. Why do you want the community to come?
It's not a work stoppage. It's not a strike. We're calling this an informational picket. Basically, we are trying to get our information out into the community since we are a community hospital and just want to speak to the community about where service and support workers are at in the negotiations, what we're asking for, and make clear to the public what our goals and initiatives are. Letting people know in the community that this is their hospital and we're there to take care of them because many of us will be here at this hospital at some point, and we want to make sure that the patient care is at the high standard that we provide and that we're just asking for things that we can continue to make sure that we give that high standard of patient care.
Could you say something about wages?
One of the things that we're going to try to ask people to understand themselves is, how do you think, or do you think it's reasonable or fair that your lowest paid workers are offered a 4% pay increase, yet the top 10 managers at the hospital are, on average, offered 17%?
Considering all that's being discussed with the hospital, what is the big picture for the workers?
That we want to feel valued. We want to be compensated fairly for the amazing work that we do in this community hospital and the care that we take and provide for our patients. So I think that's very important for people to understand.
The contract has expired. Negotiations are underway. What remains to be resolved at the bargaining table?
Well, we are really concerned about safe staffing. We're concerned about the vital patient care that's needed in the hospital, directly as a result of staffing issues. We are concerned about the ability to recruit and retain workers so that there isn't a heavy turnover of employees in the hospital because that directly affects patient care. So those are some of the things. It's not just wages, which is absolutely important, but it is these other things that are equally as important.
Please tell our listeners where and when the informational picket will happen.
Between 3 and 6 p.m. on the 9th of May in front of the hospital, their main entrance We hope to get a lot of people involved in just showing up, showing the support for the service and support workers, and then getting this information out to our community. 202 South Park Street is the actual address, but the main entrance is on Brook Street.
An event hosted by AFSCME and AFTWPEC was held this week at the Central Library, with roughly 27,000 state workers in Wisconsin. Organizers want to help these workers recognize the ways they can leverage their collective strength even without traditional collective bargaining. The focus was on an open discussion about the daily challenges and inequities experienced by public sector workers, especially those in limited-term positions. Bryant Novolinskois has more.
This past Tuesday, I met with labor activists from Ask Me Local One and AFT WEPAC, who hosted a meet-and-greet event to connect with state workers. They had this to say.
My name is Joanna Frosch. I am with Ask Me Local One, and I am a board member. I am a current state employee. I've been a state employee for about 11 years, and I work for the Department of Workforce Development. I invite people to connect with us. Some folks, because of Act 10, might think that they're unable to join a union or it's illegal somehow. And we're here to let you know it's not. And also to let you know that we're here, we're active, we want to talk to you, we want to connect with you, and we want to hopefully make state service better together. And we're currently working on some research having to do with limited term employees. We're seeing that's abused, especially in some specific departments, and we're concerned about that.
On the condition of anonymity, I also spoke with a limited term employee for the state, who has a PhD and hasn't received a raise in 5 years.
I work for a government agency as a limited-term employee, and as the limited-term employee, I work as what's called at will, and that is that I can be here 1 week and gone the next.
Something close to half of limited-term employees for the state are working 40 hours a week, split between two 20-hour appointments, which means
we have no sick time. We have no paid holidays. We have no time off. We get some workman's comp. After 1 year, we do get access to the state pension plan. And after, I think it's 6 months or it's a year, you can get insurance. You can get medical insurance. I couldn't contribute to my pension fund for one whole year.
A low limit on the number of full-time employees helped to create this dire situation. To make matters worse, however, state agencies let go of current full-time employees every so often, adding to the atmosphere of uncertainty and disillusionment. But in the face of this, these vital state workers are clearly resilient and hopeful.
People like myself work many years trying to become a full-time employee. I'm hoping that the state legislatures holding the purse strings on keeping state employee employment numbers the way they are and keeping the reciprocal relationship with keeping LTE employees on the hook to do needed and important government functional work is going to have to be changed. And I would like to believe that the governor can make some concerted efforts now to address this severe inequality. This is a wrong that will be righted at some point. It has to be. It just cannot continue the way it's been going for the last several decades. And I'm glad that we're starting to shine a brighter light on this sad state of affairs.
More state worker events like this will be held on a regular basis starting soon, so connect to your state worker union if you haven't already. Reporting for Wart Labor Radio, this is Bryant Novinskalois.
Skin. Run, 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 but you sure can't hide. And I, boy, and I
UAW makes gains at Daimler-Benz. Is this the beginning of a new union movement in the South?
The UAW reached a new contract with Daimler-Benz last Friday night. Almost all observers saw this as a breakthrough agreement. The UAW addressed long-standing wage differentials between similar work in the various divisions along with a two-tier wage structure. The wage agreement includes a cost-of-living clause. Workers also wanted to participate in the Daimler-Benz profit-sharing plan. The new contract covers workers at various plants in North Carolina, where Daimler makes the Thomas-built buses, Freightliner, and Western Star trucks, as well as the distribution centers in Atlanta, Georgia, and Memphis, Tennessee. The members still have to vote on the contract. The union saw a successful contract campaign here as another step on the way to organize the South. In particular, the union and most observers believe a decent contract at Daimler will help the union in its campaign at Mercedes-Benz in Alabama. Voting to certify the UAW at Mercedes starts next week. In the Alabama case, the union faces determined opposition by the Republican leadership of the state. Sean Fain, president of the UAW, summed up the contract and its importance this way as he addressed the victory celebration last Friday night.
You all just made history. Yeah! When we said time's up, when we said tick-tock, we meant it. Time's up for companies that want workers to feel the pain while they take all the profit. Time's up for billionaires who think working-class people can't stand up for themselves. Time's up for a system of exploitation that destroys lives, that destroys families, and destroys communities. And the clock has run out on corporate greed. Today belongs to the working class. And you know, I want to close by saying this. You know, there's one of my favorite sayings by Dr. King back in the Civil Rights Movement when he said, an injustice to people anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We have to adopt that in our working class fight. An injustice to workers anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere for workers. This is our generation's defining moment, and we moved another mountain last night, and we're going to keep on moving mountains. So let's stay in the fight. Let's continue to stand up. Thank you all, and let's go to it.
That was Sean Fain, president of the UAW, speaking to the Daimler-Benz workers in North Carolina. I'm Frank Emsbach for Madison Labor Radio.
Nurses are celebrating National Nurses Week in Madison with several upcoming events that they encourage everyone to attend.
I'm Victoria Gutierrez, a critical care nurse and a member of SEIU Wisconsin. Next week, May 6th through 12th, is National Nurses Week, and we'll be honoring one another as the guardians of care that we've continually proven ourselves to be, fighting for our patients at the bedside and in many different settings in the community.
What are some of the events that will take place?
On May 7th, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on the corner of Mound Street and South Brook Street, there will be El Burrito Loco Taco Truck. Everyone is welcome to stop by. You're encouraged to wear your union shirt affiliation and come and have a taco in honor of nurses. Also from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. is Mariachi Corcel, and they will be there to add some great music. Then on Friday, May 10th, we are putting on the third annual Honor a Nurse and Save a Life Blood Drive at the Madison Labor Temple, 1602 South Park Street. According to the American Red Cross, every 2 seconds a person in the United States needs blood. Blood is needed for everything from surgeries, traumatic injuries, and treatments for cancer and sickle cell disease. Blood and blood product donations are so necessary and vital because blood and other blood products like platelets cannot be made synthetically. Walk-ins are welcome, so you can come by. You can also pre-register your spot at redcrossblood.org, and you would enter a sponsor code altogether Meritor Nurses Week. Also, this blood drive is being put on by the American Red Cross workers of AFSCME 1205 and 1558. And I want to give a special shout out to the American Red Cross workers who are doing really important work to keep this critical blood supply maintained in our community.
That was Victoria Gutierrez. Remember, Nurses Week, there'll be a taco truck and music on Tuesday, May 7th from 11 to 2 behind Meritor Hospital, and a blood drive on Friday, May 10th at the Labor Temple. This is Janine Ramsey reporting for Madison Labor Radio.
The Letter Carrier Food Drive is Saturday, May 11th. Union sponsors include the National Association of Letter Carriers, the National Rural Letter Carriers Association, the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, and the AFL-CIO. On Saturday morning, May 11th, place non-perishable food, preferably in donor bag, near the mailbox, but not blocking it. The donor bag will make it easier for carriers to recognize the donation. Please don't donate breakable glass containers. The Letter Carrier Food Drive is important for local food pantries, since school food programs are greatly reduced when school pauses for the summer. Your generosity will help feed kids, lots of kids.
Labor Radio spoke with Christina Bry, the Public Affairs Manager at the Wisconsin Education Association Council, or WEAC, about Teacher Appreciation Week.
Teacher Appreciation Week is May 6th through 11th. It's a week out of the year that we all try to remember to thank a teacher. Everything we're doing today was somehow impacted by a teacher.
How can people best support their teachers?
A heartfelt thank you is always appreciated. We have a special site up at weac.org. It's called Thank a Teacher. We're collecting thank yous and stories from Wisconsinites who want to share about a favorite or an impactful teacher or support staff professional in their lives. But even more than that, support teachers in ways that you might not think about. We have educators in districts all over Wisconsin who are working to achieve a basic cost of living adjustment. It's not really an increase because their rates of pay right now aren't even keeping up with inflation. So committing to go to a school board meeting and make sure that your local educators know that you care about keeping them in your district is really important. Committing to talking with educators and asking them how you could be helpful to their collective cause. Wisconsin now is 38th in the nation when it comes to teacher pay. We're losing 40% of teachers within their first 6 years in the profession, many of them going to other states nearby, and many of them just leaving the profession altogether. Reach out to your local teachers, pay attention to school board meetings, and be a voice to help make sure that they're respected and they're paid like professionals too.
That was Christina Bry. This is Janine Ramsey reporting for Madison Labor Radio.
Governor Tony Evers has signed Executive Order Number 222, ordering the flags of the United States and the state of Wisconsin to be flown at half-mast on Sunday, May 5th, in respect to the firefighters of Wisconsin who have given their lives in the line of duty.
The Wisconsin Labor History Society Annual Conference will be held on May 11th at the IBEW Local 494 Training Center at 11001 West Plank Street in Wauwatosa. Hours are from 8:30 a.m. until 3:30 p.m. The topic of the conference is Building Power in Wisconsin Immigrant Communities, Social and Workplace Justice. Among the presenters will be Jesus Salas, who pioneered the farm worker movement in Wisconsin. Links to conference information and registration can be found at wisconsinlaborhistory.org.
Thanks to editor Frank Expact, assistant Robin G., copy editor Simon Gordon, reporters Greg Jaboski, Carol Weidel, Sean Hagerup, Janine Ramsey, Bryant Novinska-Lois, and damage control specialist Joanne Powers. Special thanks to Keith Steffen, our reader coordinator, engagement editor Alice Herman, and to all of our readers and the members of the IBW Local 2304 WORT Staff Collective.
And I'm David Delia. We would also like to thank all of the generous contributors to Labor Radio and WORT. Please stay tuned for the Blues Cruise with Dave Watts and the Professor Bill Clark.